Shira Shirim Perik Beis Posuk Tes.
Go grab the fox.
Vav. Okay. Echezulonu Shuolim. Take hold for us of the foxes. Shuolim Kitanim, small foxes. Mechablim Kromim, that destroy the Kromim, the vineyards. Uchromenu Smodor. Our vineyards have Smodor, I think, is young grapes, you know, just budding grapes. What does he say? Tender grapes, that's the word. Okay, so let's see Rashi. Echuzulonu Shuolim. Shoma HaKodesh Baruch Hu Eskoilom. Yeah. HaKodesh Baruch Hu, remember the last pasuk says, Hashmini Eskoil, Harini Esmareich, Hashmini Eskoilich, Kekoilich Horev Morech Nove. HaKodesh Baruch Hu says, I want to hear your voice. Your voice is beautiful to me. And when you call out in tefillah, so it says, next pasuk, Shoma HaKodesh Baruch Hu Eskoilom. He heard our crying out by the Yamsuf. Tzivo Es Hayom Ushtofum. And he commanded the Yam, Ushtofum, and I guess that washed them away, the Mitzrim, I guess. Zeu Echezulon Shuolim Halolu. That means he took hold of these foxes. The Mitzrim, I guess, are compared to the foxes. The foxes are not very friendly animals, you know, certainly not domesticated. And you hear a guy with a pet fox. I heard of a pet lion, even. Never heard of a pet fox. Anyway, so Echazulon Shualim Halo, he took hold of these foxes and got rid of them. Haktanimim Hagdoilim, the small ones with the big ones. Shaf Haktanim Hoy Mechablim Esakromim, because even the little ones used to destroy our vineyards. But Oid Kromenu Smodor, when our vineyards, when our grapes were still young, Shoanovim Dakim, because they were thin. Shoisa Bas Yisroel Yoleda Zohor V'Tomanto, when a Bas Yisroel would give birth to a boy, they wanted to call us Chorim Hayoiro Tashlichu, to kill out all the male children. V'Tomanto, and she hid the child. Voyu Hamitzrim Nichnosim Levoteim, and the Egyptians would enter their homes, umechapsin es haschorim, and look for the male children. Vatinok tomun, and the child was hidden. Vuhu ben shono ben shnosayim, a year or two old. They meviim tinoikes mibeis mitzri. These good for nothings would bring other children from a base mitzri, from the Egyptian children house. Vatinok mitzri medaber, and the little tinok mitzri would speak. V'chtinok Yisroel aneu, and the Tinok Yisroel would sort of come out of hiding. In other words, you'd hear other children talking, so talking or whatever they're babbling, whatever they did, and then they would come out. They would respond. You hear a child talk, so the child responds to another child, and they would answer them. Mimokum shetomun shom, from the place they were hidden. And they would find them in their hiding place, because now they gave up the hiding, because they made noise, they made sounds, they communicated with these other kids, and they would take them and throw them into the river. Why are they called foxes? The fox looks back and runs away. Af Mitzrim mabitim lachoreihem shenema onusa b'pnei Yisrael. The Mitzrim also, they would look that way. They would run away from the Klal Yisrael. By the Yam, that's why I refer to them as foxes, because foxes, they saw the Bnei Yisrael there and they were trying to run away from them. I guess a fox looks back to protect himself or something like that. Shualim ketanim ksiv chosevav al shem shoya nifra mehem b'mayim. It's written without a vav, shu'olim. Normally it should have a vav there. So it says, why? Because they were punished through water, shenimdedu b'sho'oloi shel mokim. That was measured with the sha'al, shel mokim. I'm not sure what that is. It says, si yishayo. Okay. So there's a special reason why they were called shu'olim. So over here, so we see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what does the pasuk say? He says he took hold of these foxes and he took care of them. Who were these foxes? They were the ones that even the young Mitzrim were used in the process. I guess he means that they came with the babies, so even the babies were part of this destructive agenda of Klal Yisrael. They would take their one-year-old or two-year-old babies and bring them to the Jewish houses in order to draw the Jewish children out of hiding and then to be able to kill them, to put them in the river, and the Mela, they too were considered part of the enemy, and they on the Yamsuf, I guess they grew up by that time. That was happening in Mitzrayim a long time. They grew up and they too were punished. Okay, next pasuk. Tezayin. Doidi li vani loy horoya bashushanim. Okay. Doidi li, my beloved is mine, vani loy, and I am his, or I am to him. Horoya bashushanim, who pastures with roses. Let's see what that means. Who calls rochav tova mimeni? Doidi li, he's mine, vani loy. Okay, we have this special relationship. Exclusive relationship. Doidi li vani loy, right? He's mine and I'm his. I guess that's what I tell people when they get married. It should be you and me to the exclusion of everybody else. A marriage is a private affair. It's exclusive. Nobody's business what's going on in a marriage. Talking about personal things to friends or to other people, like I tell them, the bedroom is off limits to any guest or any other person. There's a certain privacy. There's a certain exclusivity in the relationship. It's me and you to the exclusion of the rest of the world. Doidi li vani loy, who called srochav tov mimeni. All of his needs he asked from me. V'loy tzivo elo li, he only commanded me. Asu Pesach, make a korban Pesach. Asu kitchu b'chayros, sanctify the firstborn that they should do the avodah and whatever. Asu mishkon, make a mishkon. Hikrivo oilos, bring korbonos. V'loy tova me'uma acheres. He didn't ask this from any other nation. Vani loy, and I am his. Called srochai tovati mimeni. Everything mimenu, everything I have, I ask from him. V'loy me'elohim acherim. Horoya es tzoinoi. The one who pastures his flock, in other words, he grazes them, he takes care of them as they, you know, move around to get their food or whatever they do when a flock grazes. He pastures us, he leads us, he acts as our shepherd in a mire, mire toiv. In a pasture, yeah, that's good, that's restful, and that's beautiful. Okay, so let's analyze this pasuk for a bit, because this seems to be very significant. First of all, who called Srochav Tova Avimeni? You know what that sounds like? He only commanded me, well, on Erev Pesach, I'm going to be very hungry, so please make me a roasted lamb, okay? That's what I need for Pesach. Kitchu b'chayros, I need b'chayros to serve me because I can't do these things myself. I need servants, okay? Asu mishkon, I need a place to live. I'm homeless. So make me a mishkon, v'osu li mishkon, v'shoch mikdash v'shochanti b'soichom. Give me a place to live. Another tzorach. Hekriv v'oilos, I'm hungry every day. So bring korbonos every day because I'm hungry and I need your services. Okay, so now that's obviously ridiculous. Every one of those statements are ridiculous, right? He's not hungry. He doesn't need servants. He doesn't need a place to live. He doesn't. Excuse me, just one second. Thank you. Perfect. Okay, thank you. All right. So Mimela, he doesn't need any of these things. So what are we talking about? And then I, called Tzrochai Tovati Mimenu, that I understand. I ask from him everything I need. I have Tzrochim. He has no Tzrochim. So what are we talking about? Hashem says, all his needs he asks from me, and all my needs I ask from him. Whoa. What's going on?
Huh?
What do you say? What?
Trafal is talking about the things that, meaning from my Ruchnius, the things that would benefit me through him in Ruchnius, that he requested.
Okay, so that's not Srochav. So call all the mitzvahs. He gives me, he only asked me to do the mitzvahs. He only gave the mitzvahs to me. When Rashi seems to say that the Anila Doidi V'Doidi Li, which describes the reciprocity and exclusivity of the relationship. He's mine, I'm his, this is we own each other, so to speak, and I assume that means like that's it, that's the relationship. And Rashi even accentuates that, not me'uma acheres, not from anybody else. But why describe that in terms of the requesting or begging for my needs? Now I understand I ask my needs from him, but I don't understand the moshel of his needs from me. He has no needs. So what are we talking about? Why can't we just talk about, hey, listen, he loves me and I love him? And as it say, doi di liv ani loy, right? He's my beloved, I'm his beloved, that's it. We're in this love fest together. What more do we need? That's what it means. So what does he want?
So the question is, what does Hashem need from us?
Why explain, and what do you mean by explaining that Hashem is only asks his needs only from us? A Korban Pesach is not his need. He doesn't need nothing for no one. And a Korban Oil is not his need. And Becheiros are not his need. And a Mishkan is not his need. He's not homeless. He's not hungry. He's not helpless. Oh, what's going on over here?
We said this morning that
what's that?
It makes it seem like he needs our stuff so we don't feel like...
Oh, very good. I like that. I like that. Say it louder.
He makes it seem like he needs our korbana so we don't feel like we're getting like bread.
I think that's a step in the right direction.
Like getting, like,
in other words, Rashi wants us, Rashi understands, we have to see where he gets that from, but Rashi understands that the posuk over here, in order to reach this anila doidi v'doidi li, this deep-rooted loving relationship, that what Hashem does is that he makes it as if he needs us. Now, we have to see where Rashi got it from and how it fits the posuk. That's the next step. But it sounds like what he's saying, I need a Korban Pesach. That's, you know, I get very hungry. Pesach, by the way, you get very hungry Pesach because you can't eat chometz, you can't eat matzah. So Pesach, if you don't have a good tub of flesh in the afternoon, you buy what?
Yapchik.
Okay, you need stuff like that. Yeah, so that's and a place and a mishkan. Oshli mishkan, oshli mikdash shachati b'soichon. I need a place to live, right? So he makes it in such a way so that we feel that we are giving him his needs, so that we don't feel so bad or beholden or something like that. We don't know exactly.
I think more simple as that we're trying to build a relationship with somebody, with him. And the way that you build a relationship that we're accustomed to is that it's a give and take relationship. You give, and each person gives, and each person takes. So we're trying to make it as real as possible.
So say it.
Hashem doesn't need anything from us, but when we quote unquote when we kind of feel in a fake kind of way that he needs it, it builds on our relationship with him. It makes a relationship real.
I rather say that it makes us more comfortable in the relationship. I don't know why it makes it. If let's see, you want to be giving both ways, but don't refer to it as tzrochim. Why tzrochim? Why do we look at it as his needs?
Because definitely when we request from him, it's definitely our needs.
That's true. So
why? So we want to feel. Yeah, Hashem wants us to feel that it's an equal relationship.
So now I think he's getting to the next point. Not only will we feel good when we feel that he has needs that we're fulfilling, but it seems that maybe Rashi is coming from this point of view. Maybe that's where he got it from. That's where I was trying to go. That says, Anila doidi v'doidi li. Doidi li v'aniloi. There's the other pasuk. It says the other way too, a different place. So it says, doidi li v'aniloi. That refers to this, you know, he's mine, I'm his, fine. And that's the close of the relationship. But in order to feel that level, maybe Rashi understands that there has to be a sense of reciprocity, that there's a sense of ego. I can't feel that he's mine and I'm his in this relationship unless I also feel that I'm bringing something to the marriage. That I'm bringing something to the relationship.
What are you trying to form? So, I'm saying Hashem doesn't obviously need it.
Right? Okay, but then, you know what happened? Do you know who wrote this pasuk? Doidi li v'aniloi? Shlomo HaMelech. Do you know how Shlomo HaMelech wrote it? Rashi says in the Hakdama, Beruach HaKodesh. HaKodesh Baruch Hu put into Shlomo HaMelech this idea. I want you, in your relationship with me, to view the mitzvahs that I ask of you, especially these mitzvahs, maybe are more easier to view them that way because it's something tangible. I'm giving him a korban pesach. I'm giving him a korban oila. I'm providing a place for the shechina. I have bechiras, so maybe it's easier to conceptualize that. Let me finish the sentence. So maybe the pshat is like this: that Hashem wants us to Shlomo HaMelech had this inspiration, this divine inspiration, to put it in such terms that to be able to get to that, there has to be a certain equality in the relationship. There has to be a certain reciprocity. If I feel it's only a one-way, talk to anybody who was ever in a one-way loving relationship.
Nicole's saying it really, but if we know the truth,
what?
It really has no needs.
But Hashem allows us to look at it that way, number one, and
which way?
To look at it as if we're giving him something too. We're giving him something too. And the truth of the matter is, I don't know if the need is the actual word, but conceptually, if he gave us the Torah and he wants us to do the mitzvahs, that's what he wants. He wants to do chesed. You could say he needs to do chesed. That's part of it. It's not need. It's not a need. It's his mahus. It's his essence. And the way he can do chesed is if we earn it, because otherwise he's not doing true chesed, because it's nama de kisufa. It's something I'm embarrassed. I didn't earn it. It's not mine. I don't really feel it. I don't really appreciate it. I don't deserve it. I can't really enjoy it as much. So Mimela, that's, so to speak, his need. So you can see it in terms of a need, but he allows us to see it, or Rashi says, we must look at it in those terms. It resembles a need on a certain level, but we have to look at it in those terms, otherwise we can't feel the equality of the love relationship. If this is true, because the time is late, but if this is true, I just want to point out one thing, that it seems that in order to have the proper relationship with Hashem, that there has to be a sense of give and take. There has to be a sense of that we're in a certain way, and it's so hard to say, but we're on a certain way, we're equals in the relationship. I'm giving him, he's giving me. And that, of course, is not the ultimate reality, because the ultimate reality is he's giving everything and I'm giving nothing. I need everything from him, and I need him every moment of my existence, and he needs me like a hole in the head.
What is it that you're quote-unquote giving him?
What?
What is it that you're like?
So that's the mitzvah. So that is the pshat. He wants us to look at the mitzvahs as if we're giving him his needs. And the only way to, what I just pointed out, to bring that a little bit closer to the reality, is that Hashem, in his essence of good, wants to do good. That's part of being good, is doing good. If you're the mitzius of good, then you have to do good. Otherwise, it's just theoretical. That's philosophical. I don't know exactly what that means, but that's the way they explain it. And Mimela, so he has to. So in a sense, it is his need that we do mitzvahs, because it's only then that he can give us the ultimate good. That's really good because we earned it. We're not embarrassed, we have an ownership on it, and all those things. So Mimela, in a sense, it could be viewed as a need. But the reason that we should look at it as a need, because that will smooth out the relationship. The relationship will be then one of reciprocity. I'm giving him, he's giving me, we have this bond. If it's a lopsided bond, you know, imagine a person comes into the marriage, you know, he brings in the 99.9%, and I bring in one little, I brought a bunch of bananas to the relationship. You know, he brought in $42 million, and I brought in a box of bananas, okay? That's what I brought. You know, so it's a very, very lopsided relationship. There has to be a certain equality. And Hashem wants us to
connect with something other than finances, then.
okay. But he wants us to feel that sense of equality. That's because then it's only, you can only reach, it seems from Rashi, doi di liv ani loy, in with that way. Okay, let's just finish up.
Why are you saying it's a
what?
Once there's a real need, then Hashem's not doing it for the relationship.
I didn't understand the question. I mean, maybe I didn't hear it. What?
Once there's a real need that we're filling, then Hashem's not doing it for the relationship.
Yeah. But it's not a real need.
We can't have the ultimate toy unless we do it. Unless we do the mitzvahs, we can't have the ultimate toy.
So you mean it's more real than that? I don't know. Okay. If it's better than that, better than that. But it's at least that. that's an area I don't know exactly.
No, saying if it's that, then Shem's not doing it for the...
I hear you. Okay, maybe. Okay.
So that's even better. This, just a little bit of a kasha, you sort of alluded to it before, but if that's the pshat, the trachav is just because in order for us to get the ultimate tzedek, so why does he pick those specific mitzvahs which are superficially giving to Hashem? All the
obviously those are the easiest ones to
no,
picture that.
If Rashi just means, Yehuda's asking, maybe all that Rashi means is just the reality of, he's not talking about that for the relationship with either anything like what you're saying, just the reality is that Hashem does have a quote unquote, or maybe not so quote unquote, it's hard to say, but Hashem, to fulfill the ultimate hatava, we need to play a role, because without us doing our part, we are not going to get that.
So that's all the mitzvahs. That's all the mitzvahs.
That's all. So why would he? I'm saying. So then why would Rashi pick dafka these?
So what's the answer? So what's the answer?
You're answering because you're saying that it's a combination.
All right. That's all. Okay.
So we only have one of these nowadays.
What?
Got it.
It's kind of rough.
What? We only have. Wait a minute. We have a mikdash ma'at right here. We have a lot of them. A mikdash ma'at. We have an Ashalma Purim Sfoseinu. When we say korbonos in the morning, because they come early to davening in time to say a couple of psuke korbonos too. Besides that, so then we have that. Kedshu b'chayrois. We don't do, but we do, and Pesach we make, and we eat the matzah, which is bomokum, the korban Pesach. So we have a shaychus. Okay, whatever it is, let's just go. Horav Shoshanim, you're right. To what we do, the best we can. Horav Shoshanim, so Rashi, Horoye, you hear? Horoye, he leads us. He's a shepherd, b'mire, with a shepherding of good, pleasant and beautiful. Noach is easy, pleasant, beautiful. Yes, very, very important. Rabbi Yisai, hello. In order to maintain that relationship with our, hello. We got to finish by 10 o'clock. It's 10 o'clock. Yeah. In order to maintain that relationship with Hashem of Anila Doi Diliv Aniloi, we have to feel that sense of Haroya Bashushani, that the way He leads us is with goodness, with pleasantness, with beauty, and that is so critical. If we can't convey to ourselves and to our children and to our Talmidim and to the world the beauty of the way Hashem conducts the world, then we can't really have that relationship. The relationship is totally in that. That's, I believe, why when there's suffering in this world, unless a person can put it into perspective and see the goodness of the Roya in the suffering, unless he can see that, then that suffering, which doesn't show the goodness of the Roya, interferes with the relationship completely. And it seems you need that to have the relationship. So here's where the famous thing that I've said many times, and I heard from my father-in-law, it says, David HaMelech said, Shiftecho u'mishantecho heimo yinachamuni. Your shevet, which is your whip, and Mishenis, which is your cane that you lean on, or whatever it is, a walking stick, they are sources of consolation, of Nechoma. Now, we understand how symbolically how a cane represents Nechoma. I have something to lean on. But how does a shevet? A shevet is a whip. What kind of Nechoma do you get from a whip? So he gave a moshel. I don't know if he made it up or he saw it someplace. This shepherd, we're talking about Horoya Bashushanim, the shepherd is pastoring his flock, and everybody's very happy. It's a beautiful sunny day, and they're all grazing in all the fields. And then it starts to get dark. It's time to gather them all in. He gathers in all his hundreds of sheep. He takes an accounting, and he's missing one little shepsela. He's short one, so he knows the one is out there someplace. And he sets out with his whip out there to find it. And he's looking. It's already starting to get a little bit dark. And the little lamb is also getting a little bit nervous, like I'm all alone. There's wolves out there or whatever other enemies are there. And he's getting worried. And all of a sudden, the lamb's a little crying. And he spots the lamb at a distance. And with his whip, he strikes the lamb on the back. And the lamb says, wow, the shepherd is still with me. The shepherd hasn't forgotten me. So the Yisurim sometimes can be viewed as a positive connection with Hashem, that he's taking care of me. What's let me just finish. He's taking care of me. He's helping me. But it comes out of, hello. It comes out of a very important lesson. Because if you can look at the Yisurim as roya b'shoshanim, like the shepherd with the shevet, is still with me, is taking care of me, is roya b'shoshanim. Then we can maintain the doidi livani loy. But if we can't feel that roya b'shoshanim, if we can't feel that shivtecho yenachamuni, that whip on the back is a source of nechama, then that lack of a Rebbe Shoshanim can undermine the whole anila. Doi deliv aniloi, and therefore we must work on appreciating and coping with and drawing benefit even from the disappointments and yisurim in life.